Welcome to the radio ministry of Clearview Church in Henderson, where our goal is to make Christ visible. Clearview is a place of genuine worship with ministries for all age groups and all peoples. For more information, visit us at 3485 Oxford Road in Henderson, or visit us online at clearviewbc.org. Now join us for this week's message by Pastor Abadon Shaw.
2 years ago, I preached a revival at Mount Olivet United Methodist Church in Manuel. And after last night of revival, I decided to head back home. And the pastor tried to talk me out of leaving. He said, "Look, there's a snowstorm coming. Why don't you stay?" And so I said, "No, I think I can make it." The boys were with me. Nicole and the girls left a day earlier. And I got them some donuts, chocolate, candy, whatever they wanted, and set them up with a movie. I said, "Boys, 12, 1 o'clock, we'll make it home. No big deal. It'll be perfect." 5 minutes into the trip, I realized it was a big deal. That snow got there early. It was sleeting, heavy snow, and my truck started sliding and skidding all over the place. Now, you may say, "Well, why didn't you turn around?" If you've ever been in that direction, coming off of Roanoke Island, there's one bridge, 3 miles long, and you can't turn. And I was angry. I was mad at myself because I did this. We finally made it off the bridge, and it got worse. Now you are on a desolate stretch of US 64. There's nothing on either side except for swamp. I can't see 5 feet ahead of me. The road is pretty much gone. And I'm wondering, any moment I'm about to drive into a swamp. The fault was not with them, it was with me. I made that decision. I led them into a situation that could have ended very badly. I mean, we're laughing about it now, but that night I'm thinking, I am about to really hurt my kids. As bad as that was, it is much worse when parents lead their children towards hell. This morning, we're going to look at this message titled, "Keeping Your Kids Out of Hell." What does that really mean? If you have your Bibles, turn to Genesis chapter 19, verse 12, and let's all stand together for the reading of God's Word. "Then the man said to Lot, 'Have you anyone else here? Son-in-law, your sons, your daughters, and whomever you have in the city, take them out of this place, for we will destroy this place because the outcry against them has grown great before the face of the Lord. And the Lord has sent us to destroy it.' So Lot went out and spoke to his sons-in-law and said, 'Get up, get out of this place, for the Lord will destroy this city.'" But I want you to pay attention to this last line, because we're going to come back to that later. "But to his sons-in-law, he seemed to be joking." I'm going to ask you a couple of questions before we dive into this message. If you are a parent or a grandparent, how are you leading your children? Are you serious about their eternal future? Do you believe there is a heaven and a hell that is coming? What have you done to keep them out of hell and lead them towards heaven, towards God? And this is not just for parents with physical children, but also those who may not have kids. What have you done? What is your part in making sure that people around you are going to heaven? And the question I ask every week, are you saved? You see, it's very hard to have a conviction when you yourself don't know for sure where you're going to go. This morning, as we walk through this message, I pray that you would not get caught up in the message or in the information that you're going to hear, but that you will ask that question: do people around me truly know Christ? Have I done everything possible to keep them out of hell? Do I know Christ as my Savior? So keep these things in mind. Now, as you know, we're studying the life of Abraham and Sarah, the family of Abraham and Sarah from the book of Genesis. And in this message, today's message, we're going to learn how they kept their kids out of hell. We're learning from their good and bad decisions. So to understand this, we have to back up from Genesis 19, which we just read, to Genesis chapter 12 and verse 4. Listen to what it says. So Abram, his name hasn't changed at this point, departed as the Lord had spoken to him, and Lot went with him. Lot was Abraham's nephew. Now, as I mentioned in the previous messages, I believe that Lot attached himself to Abraham when he was in Haran. Lot's father had died, and nothing wrong with that. It's good to give that love, that support, that encouragement to somebody who is coming to you and saying, hey, listen, I'm going to shadow you. I want to learn from you. Can you disciple me? Nothing wrong with those things. But unlike Abraham, who had a call from God, Lot did not have that same call. Now, this doesn't mean that Lot wasn't saved. In fact, I believe Lot was saved. You say, how do you know that? 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 7, it says that Lot was a righteous man, which means he knew God. So when time came for Abraham to leave, Lot sees his uncle breaking camp and he says, can I go with you? And he joined the caravan. Everywhere Abraham went, Lot went with him. And every time God blessed Abraham, Lot managed to get in on the blessing. Bottom line is this: Lot was a coattail hanger. It's a person who comes into your life and attaches himself or herself to you. They go where you go, but they're not where you are. Can I ask you this morning? Are you a coattail hanger? I've seen grown men who are hanging on to the coattails of their wives' faith. They don't have a strong relationship with God. But I tell you what, my wife, she's such a good woman. She loves Jesus. What they're doing is they're saying, as long as you follow Christ, it doesn't matter what I do. I'm going to be down back here hoping that you don't slide back. There are people who hang on to the coattails of their favorite preachers, Sunday school teachers, someone in their family, some friend, they're hanging on to them. Now, here's a message to you. Beware of coattail hangers. You see, they have the potential to get you off course. Nothing wrong with helping someone grow in the Lord, but if you're not careful, that same person, because they don't have the same spiritual vision, they will get between you and God. And by the way, it's only during times of crisis that their true colors come out. And you go, wait a minute, why are you saying that? Why are you living like that? You see, they're not on the same page as you. They're following you, but they're not there with you. Can I ask you again this morning? Are you a coattail hanger? Are you that person who's hanging on to someone's faith? My challenge to you this morning is to let go of that person and hang on to Jesus Christ. Amen? Let go of that faith and have your own faith in the living God. So let's return to this. Both Abraham and Lot's livestock began to grow, and there was a conflict. Abraham's herdsmen and Lot's herdsmen began to fight with each other, and Abraham said, wait a minute, we're family. We ain't got to do this. Lot, I want you to do this. I want you to pick out the land you want, and I'll go the other way. Now, why did Abraham do this? Was it because he was a humble person? Was he because he was peace-loving? Was it because he was generous? Not really. I want you to hear what it says in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 9. By faith, he, meaning Abraham, dwelt in the land of promise as in a foreign country, dwelling in tents. Why? For he waited for the city which has foundations, whose builder and maker is God. The reason Abraham was so eager to say, you pick, Because he still was looking for that city. It does not mean that Abraham was a nomad. You know who a nomad is? Like those Bedouins. They go from place to place. They don't want to settle down. You know, it does not mean that Abraham was an idealist who was looking for some utopian, some magical city. It means this. Abraham wanted to be the citizen of a city of which God was the founder and the mayor. Abraham wanted to build his home and raise his children in a city whose visions and values were directed by God. And he said this, until I find that place, I'm going to live in tents. You see, living in tents was a demonstration that he is not going to submit to the culture, to the civilization around him. In this life, folks, you'll have to live in a city. Now, I'm not talking about city as in a city as a place, as a designation. You'll have to live around people. We got to do that. You'll have to be involved in the world. You may even have to send your kids to schools and colleges in the places where you live. Nothing is wrong with that. Sometimes people think that to follow God, you need to get away from the world. So guess what they do? They get into these communes. You see, not only are those things odd, but they go directly against what Jesus commanded us to be. He told us to be the salt of the earth and the light of the world, which means this, you have to live in the world. We're not called to isolate ourselves, we are called to influence the world that is around us. But now be careful. There's another category there. These are people who, instead of influencing the world, they get assimilated into the world. Isolationists, we're going to live away from the people, from the world, because we are godly. Influencer, I pray that more of you will try to influence the world, to be the salt and the light. Then there are the assimilators. They just go along with whatever. By the way, if your neighbors and your co-workers are shocked that you are a church-going person, if they say something like this, "I didn't know you all went to church," that's not a compliment. You know that, right? Something's wrong. Somehow, what they are seeing in you is no different than what they see in the world. Abraham was not an isolationist. He was an influencer. But how about Lot? I want you to see in verse 10. And Lot lifted his eyes and saw all the plain of Jordan. By the way, that statement reminds me of Genesis chapter 3, verse 6. What does it say? So when the woman saw that the tree was good for food and it was pleasant to the eyes. Folks, it all begins here. Now you say, well, what do I need to do? Put blinders on? No. It's how you handle the things you see around you. What you see in your neighbor's life, what you see in your friend's life, what you see on television, how do you respond to those things? Sometimes people are so enamored. I'm talking about believers. They see the world and say, you know, it's not too bad to have a little bit of that. I still love Jesus, but is it wrong for me to want to act like that and live like that? 1 John chapter 2, verse 16, listen to what it says. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. Be watchful of the eye gate. Be careful what you allow in, and then be careful how you handle what you allow in. I believe most of our problems are generating because we have taken this in and now we don't know how to handle it as believers. What did Lot see? Listen to verse 10. He saw all the plain of Jordan, that it was well watered everywhere before the Lord destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah like the garden of the Lord. Like the land of Egypt as you go towards Zoar. So Lot lifts his eyes. He sees This beautiful land. By the way, don't confuse this. He is not referring to the foliage or the terrain. Oh man, look at the lush green fields like Egypt. He's talking about the culture. Remember, he followed Abraham into Egypt? He was so impressed and so dazzled by Egypt. Lot was so mesmerized that everywhere he went, he was like, man, I tell you what, Egypt, now that's the place to be. And when he looks across the Jordan, he sees something. Man, now that's like Egypt. You say, how do you know that? Listen to the next line. Verse 11. Then Lot chose for himself all the plain of Jordan, and Lot journeyed east. Listen to verse 12. And Lot dwelt in the cities of the plain and pitched his tent even as far as Sodom. You see, Sodom reminded him of Egypt. So beautiful. So, man, this is the place my family can grow. We will be so happy. We'll be so successful. Man, kids are going to have opportunities. We can go places, do things. You know, I've been pastoring for 18 years. This is my first and only church. Through the years, I have seen people choose the greener grass. You know what I mean by greener grass? It's like they'll come to me one day and say something like this, "Help, Pastor, we love everything. I tell you what, we're going to go here, we're going to go there, we're going to make this decision, make this choice, because it's going to be so much better for us." And I don't know what to say to them. I usually tell them, "Well, okay, well, we're praying for you. I wish you the best." It does not fail. 5 months, 5 years later, I get a call or a text. Now on Facebook, get a message from them. They'll say something like this: "That's the worst decision we ever made." By the way, when Lot chose to go east away from the promised land, did you know that he X'd himself out of God's promise? God brought Abraham to give him the land, and Lot journeyed east. He got away from the promise. He X'd himself out. Many people, many individuals X themselves out of God's promise and God's protection and God's provision by their decisions. You know what they think? "Oh, I'll be happy." You did not consider the consequences of those decisions. So what happens here? Here's the worst part, verse 12. And Lot dwelt in the cities of the plain, and he pitched his tent even as far as Sodom, which means what? It's like he got into this city. He said, "No, I'm not going to Sodom. Now, Sodom, that's just way too much for me. But I'm going to pitch my tent a little bit close to Sodom, so if I ever needed to, I can keep going over here." What was wrong with Sodom? Listen to verse 13. But the men of Sodom were exceedingly wicked and sinful against the Lord. The primary sin of Sodom was homosexuality. Later on, even that name, sodomy, becomes a synonym for homosexuality. You know, I hear people say this: homosexuality is a sin like any other sin. People commit adultery, people drink, people get angry, people murder. What's the difference? And I remind them, not if you study the Word of God. Oh, that's the Old Testament. Are you gonna dress like that? Are you gonna eat like this? I was like, no, wait a minute. Let's go to the New Testament, Romans chapter 1. Read New Testament. Read Romans chapter 1. Homosexuality is the last step on the way down. It is the point at which God gives people over to their debased minds to destroy themselves. Folks, I'm not trying to be some holy roller, old-fashioned, trying to preach something that is no longer in vogue. No, I'm trying to preach the Word of God accurately. Why is it such a bad sin? Because homosexuality, unlike any other sin, challenges the very person, the constitution of God. You and I are made in the image of God. We are a copy of God. I don't have time to go into detail here. I preached on this before, so go back and listen to one of those messages. When a man says that he is not a man, but he is a woman, and a woman says she is not a woman, but she is a man, what you're fundamentally saying is, the way we are is not who we really are. What you're implying is that something is wrong with the original. What did God do with Sodom and Gomorrah? He didn't destroy any of the city the same way. He said, I'm coming down. It's time for judgment. And in Genesis chapter 14, it tells us that Lot now became a citizen of Sodom. In Genesis 18 and 19, God himself came down for two reasons. Number one, he came to tell Abraham and Sarah, guess what, the child is still coming. Number two, I'm here to destroy Sodom and Gomorrah. And I believe that was a pre-incarnate Christ and two angels. And if you remember how Abraham pleaded with God and said, he pleaded with Christ and said, what if there were 50 people? What if there were 45, 40, 30, 10, 20, 10? And God said, I won't destroy if I can find 10. Not even 10 were found. But God is a merciful God. Those two men go into the city. Guess who is sitting at the city gates? Mr. Lot. You see, now he has risen to a position of authority in Sodom. And he sees them coming. Remember, he is a believer. He recognizes those are not ordinary people. They are angels of God. And he begins to beg them, please, I want you to come stay with me. And they're like, no, we have a business to attend to. We're not staying. He said, no, please, 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 I need you. You know why he's saying that? Because he knows what the men of the city will do to them. Finally, the angel said, okay, if that's what you say, we'll come. And they come, and what happens the next moment? The house is surrounded by the men of Sodom, old and young. And guess what they tell them? Bring them out. You know what they wanted to do? Gang rape them. Lot is so moved, he says, wait, I have two daughters here who have never seen a man take them. Why? Because he knows those are angels of God. Don't touch these guys. And the angels struck the men with blindness. And listen to what they said to him. In verse 12, they said, have you anyone else here? Son-in-law? Sons? Daughters? Whomever you have in the city, take them out of this place, for we will destroy this place. What did Lot do? He went out, he begged his sons-in-law. He said, please, you got to get out of this place. And remember what we read earlier? What did they do? What was their response? They laughed. They're like, God, you're such a funny guy. Man, I tell you what, he's always cracking me up. He's like, I'm not trying to be funny. And their wives, sometimes people think the daughters he tried to give them off to those men were the wives. No, they were virgins. So the wives didn't even mention them because they probably laughed at him too. How about the sons? Sons were already gone. Too far gone for him to even try to bring back. The only people left with him was his wife and his two daughters. Now I want you to see this. And while he, what's the word there? Lingered. You know when you linger? When you dilly-dally around, when you don't want to go somewhere. Men, you know that. Wife wants to go shopping, what do? You linger. It's like, where's my stuff? I can't seem to find those socks. You know, you're looking for socks that you haven't seen in like 6 years. You're like, well, I tell you what, I want to find them before we go. Lot didn't want to leave. His heart was in Sodom. He was just thinking, maybe this is not going to happen. Maybe my children will still live. Maybe, I believe he also had grandchildren. This is just my opinion. So see what the angels did. The men took hold of his hand, his wife's hand, and the hands of his two daughters, the Lord being merciful to him, and they brought him out, and they, boom, set him outside the city. I wish I could say they lived happily ever after, because next thing, God began to rain fire and brimstone from the heavens. Things began to get burned up from the top down, not from the bottom up. Incinerated, pretty much crystallized the whole thing. What is Lot's response before all this happens? He said, hey, can I just go into this little town over here? Do I really have to go all the way into the mountains? And the angel said, fine, if that's what you want to do. But Lot didn't realize how bad this was going to be. Because his wife turned and looked behind him. Which means this. his wife was walking ahead of him. Men, I'll say this and I'll say it clearly. Someday you'll thank me, even if you don't today. You lead your home spiritually. This is not about propping your feet up on the coffee table and saying, go get me a beer. You know, this is not about that. This is about leading your home spiritually. Stop hanging on to the coattails of your wives. You be the man of prayer. You be a godly person. Many of you are living very shamefully. Now he's got two of those virgin daughters left. And you know the rest of the story. They got him drunk. And had two children. Moabites and Ammonites. Who forever were a thorn in the side of the people of God. You see, many times people make decisions based on just what will make me happy. If we would only make that decision and go here and live like this, things would be so much better. Our kids would be so much more successful. I don't want to be a holy roller. So this is what people do. Many of y'all have doing that. You want them to have just this much spirituality, just this much. Any more than that, that's too much now. But what I am challenging you to do is if you don't set them on fire for Jesus Christ, listen, it's a matter of time. They will lose the faith they do have. Every one of Lot's family members perished. And the two who didn't became the enemy of God's people. Let me close with this. You want to keep your kids out of hell? Let me suggest five things to you. Number one, stop being a coattail hanger. Give your life completely to Christ. You got to be on fire for God. Number two, lead them to the city which has foundations, whose builder and maker is God. Means lead them into biblical values. Now please don't misunderstand, and I hope you don't misunderstand this. This is not about legalism. This is not about how you dress and how long your hair is. I'm not your man if that's what you're talking about, because I am not into legalism. What I am for is giving your children spiritual values. Here's number three. Do whatever you can to keep them from Sodom. I mean, sometimes you're going to have to sit there and talk to your children. You know you got things to do. You know it's bedtime. But if you see them making decisions, making choices that you go, this is going to be very costly. Then you sit there, you stay up, you get off your Facebook, and you talk to them. It's the fact that you don't talk to them is why they keep going in the direction they do. Be warned. Anytime you try to lead your family, your kids in the right direction, there'll be a fight. Sometimes the fight is in your own home because you're trying to lead them to Christ and a spouse is saying, that's too much, that's too much. Sometimes the fight is from the outside. Friends, neighbors, they'll tell you, oh, that's too much. Why you got that rule for your kids? Here's the last one. Stop lingering. And get real with God. Can I ask you this morning, are you saved? If you've never given your heart to Christ, you need to do that today. Question number two, are you doing all you can to keep your kids out of hell? And it's not just your physical, biological kids, but also people around you in your life. Are you doing everything possible to keep them out of hell?
Thank you so much for joining us today. And I'm sure you would agree that it matters how we lead our kids. Are you keeping your kids out of hell? Do you know Christ as your Savior? You see, that is the most important thing. For more information, visit us online at clearviewbc.org. And for today's sermon notes, visit my blog site at abidanshaw.com.